Our study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 45, verses 13 through 17, the Millennial Kingdom Offerings, the Contributions of the People. I don't know if our guests have the lessons or not. Okay, thank you. Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48 predict God's restoration of Israel following his many prophecies of judgment on the nation for sin. And Ezekiel 44:1 to 46:24 predicts the temple ministers and their service in the restored kingdom. This section reveals God's great holiness in the realm of the temple ministries to the Hebrew people of Ezekiel's day, in sharp contrast to the way that they had profaned and desecrated the temple ministries in Jerusalem. So we view Ezekiel 45:13 to 17 on the contributions of God's people to his temple ministries for insight. For those who aren't aware of this, the Millennial Kingdom is, millennial stands for the word thousand. We believe that when Jesus Christ comes back to earth, he's going to set up his thousand-year reign on the earth over the world. It'll be an empire that's headed up by the nation Israel. Israel will be the top nation. All the Gentile nations will be under Israel for a thousand years. And then later on after that, we're going to go into the eternal state with the new heavens and the new earth. But these offerings are very revealing. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 45:13 through 17. This is the oblation that you shall offer, the sixth part of an ephah of an omer of wheat, and you shall give the sixth part of an ephah of an omer of barley. Concerning the ordinance of olive oil, the bath of oil, you shall offer a tenth part of a bath out of the core, which is an omer of 10 baths, for 10 baths are an omer. I know this sounds like Greek to you, but we'll get into it in a little bit. Verse 15, and one lamb out of the flock, out of 200, out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offering, for a burnt offering, for peace offerings, to make reconciliation for them, says the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince of Israel. And it shall be the prince's duty to give burnt offerings and meat offerings, drink offerings in the feasts, and in the new moons and in the Sabbaths, and in all the solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the meat offering, the burnt offering, the peace offerings, to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Okay, immediately following the Ezekiel 45, verses 9 to 12 parenthesis containing God's admonition to Israel's current religious and civil rulers regarding their greedy abuse of the people. This passage that we just read, Ezekiel 45:13 to 17, provides God's requirements for the people's donations toward the sacrificial system in the Millennial Kingdom Temple. Now, Ezekiel 45:13 to 15 reports the contributions the people of Israel were to make for the temple ministries. And this is remarkable because it's very different from the amount that God was calling for the people of Israel to contribute under the law. The people of Israel in the coming Messianic Kingdom, or the Millennial Kingdom, will be required to give a sixth of an ephah from each omer of wheat, and a sixth of an ephah from each omer of barley. An omer is part of an omer. Ephah is part of an omer. This amounts to 1/60th of their wheat and barley harvests for the temple sacrificial ministries. Normally we're used to 1/10, but this is 1/60th, all right? Much smaller. The people will be required to give a tenth of a bath from each core of olive oil. These are liquid measurements. What amounts to 1% of their olive oil for the temple ministries. Once again, we're used to 10% as the tithe. This is 1%. Then the people of Israel will be required to give one sheep from every 200 of their flocks. For example, if you have 199 sheep, you don't give a sheep. You have to get up to 200 before you even donate one sheep. That's 0.5%, incidentally. These donations would go for the grain offerings, the burnt offerings, the fellowship offerings to make atonement for the people. Very interesting. Now, Ezekiel chapter 45, verse 16 reveals that these contributions would be delivered over to the prince, whom we believe will be the resurrected King David, who in turn was responsible to give them to the temple ministries. Now, the Prince David would then be responsible to provide the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the drink offerings at the festivals, new moons and Sabbaths at all the appointed feasts in Israel, and to provide for the sin offerings, the grain offerings, the burnt offerings, and the fellowship offerings to make atonement for Israel. This is remarkable. It's like the priests and the Levites are cut out of the loop. In the Old Testament, what would happen is they would have 10% of their goods given to the priests and the Levites, and then they in turn would give it around their tenth to the priests, and then the priests would give their tenth to the Lord for sacrifices. But the priests and the Levites heavily abused the sacrificial system, and they actually got a lot of the sheep for themselves. They gypped the people, they would sell the sheep there so that they could have a sheep to offer, and then they would sell for an exorbitant amount of money. So God is cutting them out of the loop. David will have tremendous influence because all of the offerings, all the animals, everything is going to be run through David. And then David will take over and give that to the Lord. And we're going to find out in a little bit why this is so. Significantly, these stipulations on the required donations of the people to the temple ministries stand in sharp contrast to the greedy abuse of the people by Israel's religious and civil leaders, as critiqued in Ezekiel 45:9-12. We've just covered it in Ezekiel 45:9-12 about the sins of the religious leaders and the civil leaders, how they took advantage of the people and gypped them out of their money and out of their land. But this is going to be very different in the Messianic kingdom. First, there was no graduated income tax. Hear, hear. This is not socialism. There's no graduated income tax, okay? Every man will owe 1.667% of his wheat and barley. Every man will owe 1% of his olive oil and 0.5% of his sheep. Whether he was wealthy or poor, the rate one owes to the Lord's temple ministries will be the same. If you're a millionaire, guess what? 1%. If you're a very poor man, you know, if you don't have 200 sheep, if you have like 199, 198 sheep, you don't offer a sheep. You have to get up to the 200 level before you even give one sheep. And you give two sheep when you get 400 sheep. See, if it's 399, it's just one sheep. So God is very, very gracious here. Then, second, the rates owed will be very easily affordable, and that for two reasons. First, God's abundant provisions of rain and harvest production during the millennial kingdom will make the cost of these donations easily affordable for all. It's interesting that Amos chapter 9, verse 3, tells us that during the millennial kingdom, behold, the days come, this is during the millennial kingdom, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Nowadays, when you reap, you don't plow right away, okay? But in those days, they're going to be sowing seed, and they're going to be raising crops year-round. So the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes will overcome him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That's a hyperbole. All the mills, the hills will so be so full of wine and produce that it's like they're melting with the produce. So it's going to be very, very abundant. So it's going to be easy to come up with these crops and with these animals, simply because everybody's going to be making so much. In fact, there's another Bible passage that says when someone wants to tie a donkey up when they go to visit someone else, they'll think nothing about tying the donkey up at a grapevine. Well, the grapevine, you wouldn't do that today because the donkey will eat the grapevine, you know, he'll eat it bare, leaves and all. But in those days, you're going to have so many grapes that you won't even think about tying that up. You'll let the donkey go ahead and eat what he wants. It's like letting the donkey eat grass. And then second, the rates owed will be easily affordable for two reasons. Second, well, because of the rain and the harvest. Second, not one of these required donations even adds up to the 10% tithe in Ezekiel's era. A 60th of the wheat and barley amounts to 1.667%. The olive oil comprises 1% of what is harvested, and one out of every 200 sheep amounts to half of 1% of one's flock. And that's easily affordable for every man. That would have been easily affordable under the law. This isn't even under the law. This is when God is blessing bountifully. So these donations also will be given to the Prince David, who will be over the people. And David, in his earthly life, did not use his office to abuse subordinates, but he was known for his generosity. There's a celebration. Remember when the Ark, David brought the Ark into Jerusalem? He personally, out of his own resources, fed every man and woman in Israel. And this is unusual, because normally when they would have national festivals, they would feed, basically just the men, because that was the way it was, a very male-dominated society. But Jesus fed every man and woman and gave them a raisin cake, which was a delicacy in those days, and a good cut of meat and something else. And he provided for the entire nation out of his own resources. That's very generous for a king to do. That's almost unheard of. And then in 1 Chronicles 22, 1 to 16, the gold that David gave out of his wealth to the temple of the Lord came to 120 million ounces. Guess what? 120 million ounces, and gold goes for $1,800 an ounce right now. That's $216 billion. That's what David gave to the Lord. That's generous. And that's the man that God's going to use to gather up all this, all of these tithes and whatnot, and bring them to the Lord. You got a trustworthy man, trustworthy treasure, put it that way. So in tremendous contrast to the people losing much of their possessions to oppressive religious and civil rulers in Ezekiel's era, during the millennial kingdom, when God provides with material abundance, the people will have an even far less burden of donations than what they were to give under the law in Ezekiel's time. So there's a huge lesson here. In great contrast to the material oppression Judah's people faced under godless religious and civil rulers in Ezekiel's day, in the coming millennial kingdom, when the people will be materially well endowed by God's rich blessing, their required donations will be even far less than what God rightly required of them under the law, indicating the tremendous emphasis God will place on his grace toward his people in the kingdom. So an application: as participants in the coming millennial kingdom ourselves, as members of the church, may we in the church today not oppress fellow believers on the amount they give, but let every man give as he desires in his own heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says every man should determine in his own heart what he should give. Now, a guideline, people often want to know what's a guideline. A guideline is 10%, okay? The rule of thumb is when you start a church, what you want to do is you want to start off with 10 families. You have 10 families, each give 10% of their money. That comes up with the amount of money roughly needed to hire and support a pastor that comes. That's just a guideline. But there was a millionaire by the name of Mr. Letourneau down in Texas who earned a lot of money. I believe it was Caterpillar Tractor, I forget which one. But he would give 90% of his income per year. Of course, what he lived off of the 10% was several million dollars. So he could afford it. All right, his wife dressed furs and everything, but he would give 90% of his money to the Lord. And he did it, and a lot of it he did to missions. And that's great. Some people may not give nearly that much, so there may be some people that can't afford to give even 10%. That's fine. It's interesting, in Epoch Church, I was instructed, the treasurer and assistant treasurer and the auditors, don't tell me, and the board has preferred not to be told who gives what. In fact, as board members, we don't even know who gives amongst ourselves who gives what. Okay? And that, I think that's great, because everybody's gift is his own relationship to the Lord. That's it. Let every man determine as he determines in his own heart. Let him give. So in our church here, whether you give, whether you don't give, how much you give, that's not our business. That's between you and the Lord. So as participants in the coming kingdom, may we in the church not oppress fellow believers on the amount they give, but let every man give as he desires in his heart. And may we leaders in the church not pressure the congregation to give, but let God move them to donate. This is why when we have our morning service upstairs and we mention the issue of giving, we say, if you've come to church and you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we would prefer that you not give. We want you to know that salvation is free to you. So we ask that instead of giving, rather that you receive God's gift to you of eternal life. Sometimes we've had people come in our church and they hear that, their eyes bug out because they've never heard a minister. Normally the ministers are haranguing them for money. But we really mean that because we want people to know that salvation is free. And then giving should be something that is between them and the Lord. And the Lord has always met our needs. I've been here 39 years at Nepok Church. The Lord has always met our needs. Sometimes things have been down. Sometimes the church's income has been up. But the Lord's always taken care of our needs. And I really believe if we treat God's people properly like we should in regards to this issue of money, the Lord will bless. And he will bless abundantly in his grace. So I took the time out just to deal with these five verses here because I felt this is really worthwhile. There have been, sadly, tremendous amounts of abuses in this realm. I've heard of one situation where when a person came to the church and joined the church, the minister would ask them to submit their last 2 years of their 1040 forms, their tax forms, and then he would figure out from that what they should give, and then he would send them a letter with a bill as to what they're supposed to give that year. Can you imagine? Well, we're not going to ask for your 1040s. Thank God. No one asked for mine either. We're just let every man give as the Lord provides in his own heart. And we mean that. And giving should be something that is a joy to the Lord. It's a blessing to give. And that's what we want to keep it at Nepok Church.